Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела аудирования перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один.
Задание B1.
Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего A, F и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Speaker A.
Perhaps the greatest problem that people have today is lack of free time. Whether they work or study, people always seem to have too much to do and too little time to manage it all. The harder they work, the more they still have to do. Most people simply react to what is happening around them instead of prioritizing. It's important to decide which task you should do first, and which can wait and come next. This is a key to good time management.
Speaker B.
What is important in time management is finding harmony. In your weekly schedule, there must be some time for studies, communicating with relatives and friends, sport, hobbies, and so on. Calculate how much time you've spent on each sphere of your life weekly. Buying a diary may be of great help in dividing your time more efficiently.
Speaker C.
Time is the most valuable thing you have. What's interesting, it can't be saved. All work demands time. So managing time is a core skill upon which everything else in life depends. During different periods of your life, set different big goals and priorities. Right now, the top one is education. Later, there will be other important ones. But each time, choose and concentrate on one particular thing that is crucial at the moment.
Speaker D.
In your daily life, there are so many demands on your time from other people that very little of your time can be used as you choose. Preparing for a test, meeting a deadline with a project can distract you from your personal goals. Have you watched that film you have been interested in for weeks? Have you had a long chat with your granny over the phone? In other words, do you find time for doing what you want to do? If not, you should probably reconsider your time management.
Speaker E.
I have read in a book on time management that hard time always pushes out soft time. This means that if you didn't do something because you didn't use your time well, you take the necessary time from another activity important for you, and this may irritate you. So concentrate on any work you are doing and do not waste minutes. When you work, work hard, but play hard too.
Speaker F.
Many people believe time is not a resource as it only exists in our mind. But I consider time an important resource. It's a pity it's wasted because we do not think about our biological rhythm. Why should we all go to school at 8 a.m.? There are so many people who can really take in information only after lunch. The same activity can take you 2 hours in the morning and just about half an hour in the evening, or vice versa. I always try to use this important concept. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again.
Speaker A.
Perhaps the greatest problem that people have today is lack of free time. Whether they work or study, people always seem to have too much to do and too little time to manage it all. The harder they work, the more they still have to do. Most people simply react to what is happening around them instead of prioritizing. It's important to decide which task you should do first, and which can wait and come next. This is a key to good time management.
Speaker B.
What is important in time management is finding harmony. In your weekly schedule, there must be some time for studies, communicating with relatives and friends, sport, hobbies, and so on. Calculate how much time you've spent on each sphere of your life weekly. Buying a diary may be of great help in dividing your time more efficiently.
Speaker C.
Time is the most valuable thing you have. What's interesting, it can't be saved. All work demands time. So managing time is a core skill upon which everything else in life depends. During different periods of your life, set different big goals and priorities. Right now, the top one is education. Later, there will be other important ones. But each time, choose and concentrate on one particular thing that is crucial at the moment.
Speaker D.
In your daily life, there are so many demands on your time from other people that very little of your time can be used as you choose. Preparing for a test, meeting a deadline with a project can distract you from your personal goals. Have you watched that film you have been interested in for weeks? Have you had a long chat with your granny over the phone? In other words, do you find time for doing what you want to do? If not, you should probably reconsider your time management.
Speaker E.
I have read in a book on time management that hard time always pushes out soft time. This means that if you didn't do something because you didn't use your time well, you take the necessary time from another activity important for you, and this may irritate you. So concentrate on any work you are doing and do not waste minutes. When you work, work hard, but play hard too.
Speaker F.
Many people believe time is not a resource as it only exists in our mind, but I consider time an important resource. It's a pity it's wasted because we do not think about our biological rhythm. Why should we all go to school at 8 a.m.? There are so many people who can really take in information only after lunch. The same activity can take you 2 hours in the morning and just about half an hour in the evening, or vice versa. I always try to use this important concept. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание А1-А7. Вы услышите разговор друзей. Определите, Какие из приведенных утверждений А1, А7 соответствуют содержанию текста? 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Обведите номер выбранного вами ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hey, Peter, why don't we go to the cinema together over the weekend?
I don't like cinemas. There are crowds of people with popcorn and soda, and mobile phones will go off every now and then. It is difficult to concentrate. I would rather rent a DVD.
Good idea. Let's watch this new Indian film, which was released last month. Do you like Indian films?
I have never watched a single Bollywood film before, so I really do not know. I hear they are very long and boring.
I'll agree with you about the length, but this is because of the amount of the song material. Besides, it's a cultural thing. When Indians go out for an evening's entertainment, they want a saga, a drama, a life story, all in one. And with some comical episodes as well. It's problematic to put all these aspects into 90 minutes, you know.
I see. Well, I guess singing and dancing must be a great strength of Indian commercial cinema. When actors show extreme emotions, just facial expressions may not be enough.
Exactly. Songs and dances make the message loud and clear. Of course, it's not real. After all, who breaks out in synchronized dances with many extras when one is happy? But this is a characteristic of Indian cinema.
What is the main theme of Indian films?
Well, India can't be considered a rich country, but movies show an image of the upper middle or rich classes. Most Indian people live a life which is completely different from what is there on the screen. This makes these films so attractive and bright.
How odd.
I say, Peter, you mentioned Bollywood films. What do you mean?
Don't you know? It is one of the largest film producers in the world. 3 films a day are finished there, which makes it about 1,000 films a year. Can you imagine? The name is a combination of Bombay, where the studio is situated, and Hollywood.
I didn't know that. So, what's your decision?
Well, let's go to the rental shop, shall we?
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Hey, Peter, why don't we go to the cinema together over the weekend?
I don't like cinemas. There are crowds of people with popcorn and soda, and mobile phones will go off every now and then. It is difficult to concentrate. I would rather rent a DVD.
Good idea. Let's watch this new Indian film, which was released last month. Do you like Indian films?
I have never watched a single Bollywood film before, so I really do not know. I hear they are very long and boring.
I'll agree with you about the length, but this is because of the amount of the song material. Besides, it's a cultural thing. When Indians go out for an evening's entertainment, they want a saga, a drama, a life story, all in one, and with some comical episodes as well. It's problematic to put all these aspects into 90 minutes, you know.
I see. Well, I guess singing and dancing must be a great strength of Indian commercial cinema. When actors show extreme emotions, just facial expressions may not be enough.
Exactly. Songs and dances make the message loud and clear. Of course, it's not real. After all, who breaks out in synchronized dances with many extras when one is happy? But this is a characteristic of Indian cinema.
What is the main theme of Indian films?
Well, India can't be considered a rich country, but movies show an image of the upper middle or rich classes. Most Indian people live a life which is completely different from what is there on the screen. This makes these films so attractive and bright.
How odd.
I say, Peter, you mentioned Bollywood films. What do you mean?
Don't you know? It is one of the largest film producers in the world. 3 films a day are finished there, which makes it about 1,000 films a year. Can you imagine? The name is a combination of Bombay, where the studio is situated, and Hollywood.
I didn't know that. So, what's your decision?
Well, let's go to the rental shop, shall we?
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задання А8-А14. Ви услышите интервью. В заданиях А8-А14 обведите цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start. For half a year, Sharon Trollope is a stay-at-home mother. But the rest of the time, she's an aid worker in desperate situations around the globe. We asked her to describe how her family copes with the change.
For every working mother, that moment when you open the front door at the end of a long, hard day and see your children hurtling down the hallway towards you, it makes your heart skip. But for me, it's extra special, because by the time I reach my front door, it is often more than a month since I saw them. For almost 3 years, I've been on call as a British Red Cross aid worker. The phone rings, and sometimes within 48 hours, I'm on a flight to wherever my skills are needed most. For up to 6 months of every year, I'm on the other side of the world, working in desperate situations. Meanwhile, home alone in the Cotswolds, my husband Julian copes heroically with a sudden switch to life as a single dad to Rowan, who's 11, and Finian, who's 7, and Orla, 6. Although I try never to be away for longer than 5 weeks, that is still a painfully long time to be separated from them all, and I know it's very hard on them, too. Julian does a fantastic job on his own with them, while holding down a job as a computer scientist. But 5 weeks is as long as any of us can manage, practically and emotionally. At the most recent school parents' evening, Orla's teacher took me to one side and said that she had been very withdrawn during my last stint in Haiti. I thought I felt as guilty as it was possible to feel about it, but at that moment my heart sank to a new low.
So, how do you feel about it?
I do feel guilty about leaving them, about not being there and not talking to them every day.
Then why do you do it to them, and to your poor husband, and yourself?
The answer is because I have no doubt, on all but the most exhausting days in the field, that the benefits to us all far outweigh the downsides. After my family, aid work is what I am most passionate about. I have a degree in development studies and a master's in irrigation. And soon as I graduated, I started working abroad. But then, later in my 20s, I met Julian and realized that I wanted to have a family. I decided I'd better switch from aid work to teaching to make it possible. I taught for a short while, but my heart was never in it. When Rowan, our eldest, was about 1, I got a job with the British government in Botswana, so we moved there as a family for a year. With just 1 very small child, it was possible to live that life, but as our 2nd and 3rd children came along, I felt as though I had to accept that aid work and motherhood simply don't mix. I was unemployed for a number of years, and although I loved being a mom, I felt that, having lost my work, I'd lost a really big part of who I was.
Was it easy to find yourself again?
Well, even if you're keen to return to the field, as a woman with children, it's very hard to find agencies willing to take you on. The job requires the kind of flexibility and commitment a lot of men and women with families would struggle to meet. But Julian saw how important it was for me to get back to doing what I do. I was qualified to do it, and, until I became a mother, I had relished the challenges that every assignment threw at me. He saw the effect that not being able to do it was having on me. It changed me. My confidence was sapped, and I felt so frustrated. Thankfully, he didn't want, having had kids, to cut me off from such an important part of my life. We didn't want to set that example for the kids. He wanted to find a way to make it work, and without his support, it just wouldn't have been possible.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. For half a year, Sharon Trollope is a stay-at-home mother. But the rest of the time, she's an aid worker in desperate situations around the globe. We asked her to describe how her family copes with the change.
For every working mother, that moment when you open the front door at the end of a long, hard day and see your children hurtling down the hallway towards you, it makes your heart skip. But for me, it's extra special, because by the time I reach my front door, it is often more than a month since I saw them. For almost 3 years, I've been on call as a British Red Cross aid worker. The phone rings, and sometimes within 48 hours, I'm on a flight to wherever my skills are needed most. For up to 6 months of every year, I'm on the other side of the world, working in desperate situations. Meanwhile, home alone in the Cotswolds, my husband Julian copes heroically with a sudden switch to life as a single dad to Rowan, who's 11, and Finian, who's 7, and Orla, 6. Although I try never to be away for longer than 5 weeks, that is still a painfully long time to be separated from them all, and I know it's very hard on them, too. Julian does a fantastic job on his own with them, while holding down a job as a computer scientist. But 5 weeks is as long as any of us can manage, practically and emotionally. At the most recent school parents' evening, Orla's teacher took me to one side and said that she had been very withdrawn during my last stint in Haiti. I thought I felt as guilty as it was possible to feel about it, but at that moment my heart sank to a new low.
So, how do you feel about it?
I do feel guilty about leaving them, about not being there and not talking to them every day.
Then why do you do it to them, and to your poor husband, and yourself?
The answer is because I have no doubt, on all but the most exhausting days in the field, that the benefits to us all far outweigh the downsides. After my family, aid work is what I am most passionate about. I have a degree in development studies and a master's in irrigation. And soon as I graduated, I started working abroad. But then, later in my 20s, I met Julian and realized that I wanted to have a family. I decided I'd better switch from aid work to teaching to make it possible. I taught for a short while, but my heart was never in it. When Rowan, our eldest, was about one, I got a job with the British government in Botswana. So we moved there as a family for a year. With just one very small child, it was possible to live that life. But as our second and third children came along, I felt as though I had to accept that aid work and motherhood simply don't mix. I was unemployed for a number of years, and although I loved being a mum, I felt that, having lost my work, I'd lost a really big part of who I was.
Was it easy to find yourself again?
Well, even if you're keen to return to the field, as a woman with children, it's very hard to find agencies willing to take you on. The job requires the kind of flexibility and commitment a lot of men and women with families would struggle to meet. But Julian saw how important it was for me to get back to doing what I do. I was qualified to do it, and until I became a mother, I had relished the challenges that every assignment threw at me. He saw the effect that not being able to do it was having on me. It changed me. My confidence was sapped, and I felt so frustrated. Thankfully, he didn't want, having had kids, to cut me off from such an important part of my life. We didn't want to set that example for the kids. He wanted to find a way to make it work, and without his support, it just wouldn't have been possible.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.